tonight to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 29. And we will look at a little bit about the heart tonight, since it is Valentine's Day. It says here, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your word. We thank you so much that you were willing to give your son, give us the word that testifies of it and tells us how everything's going to work out, and that we are on the winning side because of our Savior. Help us to see the things we need to see tonight, to be concerned about our own hearts and keep them soft and tender for you. We just thank you and love you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go over to Proverbs here in Deuteronomy. The Lord was very concerned with the children of Israel and their heart being right, and how they consistently moaned and groaned and complained and griped. And he just says he would that they would have a heart in him, in them, to fear him and to keep his commandments. And then in Proverbs chapter 4, we have this scripture that tells us here in verse 23. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Out of it are the issues of life. How important it is to keep our hearts right, because it affects the whole issues of life. We need to see that. We need to understand that. Pastor Randy Raines is up there in Mansfield, and he wrote a little book, 286 condition, Bible Conditions of the Heart, 286. We don't have time tonight to go through all of those, but the Bible does say a lot about the heart. Several years ago, I taught a Wednesday night lesson with a sheet of 28 different hearts that the Bible brings out. Some of them are hearts that we shouldn't have, and the others are the hearts that we should have. And so the Bible has a lot to say about the heart, and it does affect the issues of life, just like the Bible says. We're going to look at a few of them tonight, a few of the hearts that we want to stay away from. And then we're going to look at what we need to do to strengthen our hearts to have the right kind of a heart. First of all, we need to realize the condition of our heart, which many believers do not recognize. They do not recognize the condition of their heart. And the Bible is very clear about that. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 17, and I know you're familiar with this verse, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And then it says in verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins." And notice what he says, why he searches our hearts. Remember, out of it are the issues of life. He says, "Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So if we're not going to be concerned about our heart and to keep our heart in the right place, it's going to greatly affect us. It's going to bring upon us the fruit of our doings. And the Lord has made that very clear. So we need to realize that we do have this condition of heart. It is desperately wicked. It is a heart that's deceitful above all things, what the Bible says. That word deceitful is also translated in the Old Testament as crooked and polluted. We believers don't like to see ourselves for what we really are. We think too highly of ourselves, and the Bible says that we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves. And it says it's desperately wicked. Desperately wicked is also translated mostly incurable and woeful and sick. And certainly the heart is uncurable It's uncurable, incurable, unless the blood of Christ is applied. There's no other way to cure it. There's no other way to get around this sinful heart than the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanses us from all sin. So that's the first thing we've got to realize, that we're dealing with a wicked heart. We're dealing with a flesh that wants to sin. We're dealing to a flesh that wants to appease itself. We're dealing with a flesh that is anti-God. And so many believers just don't seem to catch that. If you go to Romans 3:10, you know that scripture. You don't even have to go there. But in Romans 3:10, the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Isaiah 64:6, "All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." The Bible is very clear that we have this sin condition. And what does that mean? Might as well just give up? No. It means that just what Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You better watch your heart. You better keep it in the right place. You better realize where it will take you if you don't guard it and you don't work on it. Keep it in the right place. So that's the first thing we need to realize about the condition of our heart. Secondly, let's go to Proverbs 14:14 and look at another one here just quickly. Here the Bible mentions the backslider in heart shall be filled, here it is again, with his own ways. Remember what the Bible said there about bringing it on ourselves. And in verse 10 of Jeremiah 17. And so it says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Did you catch that? Satisfied from himself. Well, I'll tell you, if we just want to let ourselves rule, let ourselves run, we're going to head for trouble. We have to seek the Lord. Psalm 78, verse 8, and we'll look at some other verses here just quickly. Psalm 78 and verse 8. Here in this psalm, it says, I can get over there. In verse 8 says, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." See, that's the problem we run into, is this thing of a stubborn and rebellious heart, not willing to submit to what the Word of God says. Joshua 24 and verse 23 is another one along this line. Joshua 24 and verse 23. Here it says, "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." That was Joshua giving commandment. Read on what he said. "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And if you read on, Joshua dies. So this means after they had been in the promised land for a lot of years, he had to encourage them to put away the idols and the false gods, the strange gods which are among you. It is so easy for our hearts to get off course. We need to be very careful that we diligently seek to keep our hearts in the right place. Ecclesiastes 11, as Solomon is talking about all of the things that he had, all the joys, and nothing really satisfied. The only thing that he concludes is that we need to serve the Lord. That's what really satisfies. And here in chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth." In other words, just go ahead and do what you want to do, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart. Why is he saying that? Well, if you want to go the way of your own heart, you're going to run into sorrow. You're going to go into sorrow. And put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And so he warns the young people that don't go by your heart. You're going to get you in trouble. You need to yield your heart to the Lord. And then look at Proverbs 28, verse 26. What the Bible, he warned over there in Proverbs 28. The Bible tells us here in 28, verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." So trusting in our own heart's a dangerous thing. We need to realize that heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Deceitful above all things. Another one in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 10, if you want to look there again, in Proverbs 14, verse 10, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." The bitter heart is one that we have not, you know, we're not to have that backslider heart where we're rebellious and stubborn to the things of God. We're not to have this bitter heart. Hebrews 12:15, clear over in the New Testament in Hebrews 12:15, I know you are familiar with this one. It says here in verse 15, "Looking diligently," there it is again, "diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness," just the root of bitterness, "bringing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Many be defiled. Dangerous thing to give in to bitterness and have an unforgiving spirit. And then in Mark 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, you remember Jesus gave the parable of the sower, and the main emphasis of that was how the devil tries to steal away the word of God from people's hearts so that they won't become believers in Jesus Christ. That's the main idea behind that parable. But the parable also gives us the soil, referring to the heart. So it kind of shows us some hearts that we need to avoid. And the three of them that are mentioned to be avoided, the first one was the wayside heart. Like the sower sowing the seed where the path is, and they walk on the path. Things, I look at that as the things of God just get trodden down and walked over in our life. Things that we know we ought to do just get trodden down. We just trod over them instead of really letting them work on our heart and our life. We've heard these things, but we just don't listen. And then I think about the stony heart, the second one. We become so hardened to the real needs in our life. The trials of life overcome us and get us sour to the things of God. Just read about the stony heart there in those passages, and becomes hardened to the real needs of life. And oh, it's all about me, and trials of life overcome. And then we become sour to the things of God. That's a heart to avoid. Then there's the thorny heart. We're so busy, so involved in things of the world that we just have hardly no time for God. We're too busy with everything else. That's the thorny heart. So many weeds growing up in our lives that ought to be plucked out of there. Ought to get them out. And yet those things are keeping us from really being all for the Lord that we ought to be, the thorny heart. So those are just a few mentioning of the things that become common to Christians to get us off and away from where we need to be and having the kind of heart that we should have, that he said that he would, that that heart was within us there in Deuteronomy 5, to fear the Lord, to do his, to keep his commandments. So here's what we should be doing. This is what we should be working on to strengthen our hearts. One of the things that I do, because, and I know that when we talk about heart, we're talking about the inner man. We're not talking about the literal flesh heart in the flesh. We're talking about the inner man, our soul, our spirit, and keeping that where it should be with the Lord. But in my experience of having two heart attacks, I realized that when I had those heart attacks, it weakened my heart. So what do? I do exercises that get my heart beating really fast. Why? Because the heart is a muscle. And so if I'm going to keep my heart strong, I've got to exercise it and make it work so that it'll get stronger. And that is what we need to do spiritually in our life. We need to work to do things that make us stronger spiritually, so that our heart is strong, this inner man, this our spirit is strong and not weak, and we are overcome by the enemy. If you look at that parable of the sower, the devil immediately comes in and steals the seed that's sown. And it brings out how the devil is working to blind the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And I told my Sunday school class this morning, don't you think the devil is trying to get our hearts off course? If he's trying to keep the lost from coming to the truth of the gospel, then once you get the gospel, he's trying to keep your heart hardened to the things of God. He's trying to keep the heart of the unbeliever to come to the belief. Then once you believe, he's still working. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's after you. So it's important to work on our heart, to keep it in the right place. Let's look at some scriptures. Psalm 26. Psalm 26 and verse 2. 26:2. In the Psalms, it says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Concern. David was a man that the Bible says in the book of Acts that he was after God's own heart. And God said, he told King Saul that he was going to choose a man after his own heart because of Saul's disobedience. And here's his attitude. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart. Help me to see where the problems are in my life. Examine me. Let me see what needs to be corrected. Psalm 139. Over to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 of Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I can see why David was a man after God's own heart. He wanted his heart to be in tune with the Lord. That was his concern, that his heart would be where God wanted it to be, and not where he wanted it to be. To that chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119, that deals with the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God, in 161 of Psalm 119 and 162, it says, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice in thy word. That brings up something, that if we're going to keep our heart in the right place, we need not to allow anything to take us away from our time in the Word of God. Our time in the Word of God is so important. It's so important to stay in the Bible, to get in the Word of God. Look in Proverbs 6. You know, most of the time when our heart starts getting cold, our attitude toward the Word of God seems to weaken. And we get a sour attitude to the Word of God. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to read it. We don't want to listen to it. We just want to kind of moan and groan in our own displeasure, I guess you'd call it. 6:20-23, it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." And then he explains what the father and the mother's commandment and law, father's commandment and the mother's law, was all about in the next verse. "For the commandment is a lamp," Psalm 119:105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Boy, we need to not allow anything to take us away from the Word of God. If we're down, Psalm 43, it's a good one. If you want to look over there to Psalm 43, just quickly, it's a good one. If we're down, we don't need to run from God. We need to run to Him. And He says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against the ungodly nation." You read the chapter here, it's a short one, and he's down about it all. But he says, and finally in verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Usually we want to run away when we should be praising. We need not to allow anything to take us away from our time in the Word of God. Be working to strengthen our heart. And we do that through the Word of God. Psalm 17, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 17, 4 and 5. Here's another one. The condition of our heart. It says, "Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." How? "By the word of thy lips. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not." See, many times we slip because we get away from the Word of God. And then Job 23. Job 23 is something else that we need to do to strengthen our heart. And shouldn't allow anything to take us away from the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God so our heart would be strengthened. Just keep a regular, daily working in the Word of God. And don't get away from it. Don't stop. It's so important. But Job 23, and down to verse 12, Job says here, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Job said that he realized that this trouble that came to him God used it to soften his heart. And sometimes, because of our hard heart, God has to do the same with us. We need to work to keep our heart soft and tender to the Word of God. When we get a hardened heart, a rebellious heart, when we get a heart that wants to resist the Word of God and turn away from the Word of God and go our own way, it leads to trouble. And God's got to bring trouble to soften that heart, get us back where we need to be. And when you read about the children of Israel and you think about them, look at all that they saw and all that they did. And God had to consistently bring trouble into them to try to get them on the right track, to try to get them where they needed to be. But they continued to resist, and it just continued to bring trouble into their life. Their hearts were hardened to the truth. They couldn't see all that God had done for them. We need to realize that. One of the things that keeps us from keeping our hearts soft and tender to the things of God is we so easily forget what God has done in our life, what he's brought us through, how he's taken care of us. Look at these scriptures here, Proverbs 28, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. He that hardeneth heart shall fall into mischief. We need to think about things before we act. Think about things before we act. The Bible says that. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 28. Proverbs 15, 28. Here, it says this. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Think before we act. Think about the situation, the things that we go through. Proverbs 14 and verse 15. 14, 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The prudent man looketh well to his going. Before we act, we consider, we think, about it. Look in Psalm 34 and verse 18. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. It's broken heart, thinking about it, and coming to the place of a contrite spirit. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rip their heads off. I'll tell you that's what I'm doing. Well, your head's about to get ripped off. That's, you can just mark it down. You're going to rip your own head off in the process. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Here it is again. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite one. And then if you look over in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew 22. Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love. This lawyer here was trying to trip him up, asking him, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The thing of keeping Christ first in our life, not allowing ourselves to get off course staying in the Word of God, keeping our prayer life up. Look what he says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. I know you know this passage, but it's so important. Verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Well, why should we let our moderation be known unto all men, that we're moderate in situations that happen in our life? When things get out of control, we don't get out of control. We're moderate. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. We can rely upon the Lord. We can look to Him. We can find strength from Him. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Well, I know him or I know her. Something goes wrong, man, they blow up. That's not moderation. If something goes wrong, we should be calm. We should seek the Lord. We should think about it. We should pray about it. We should ask the Lord, what should I do? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Do you believe God or not? The Lord is at hand. That's what it says. Be careful for nothing. The word careful has the meaning of worrying about it. Don't worry about it. But in everything. That's everything. When the Bible says everything, you better believe it means everything. Every issue, everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You mean I have to thank the Lord that this has happened to me? Well, yeah, because God is in control. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's how you're going to strengthen your heart, by staying in the Word of God, by praying, and by not going berserk when things go wrong. This world is a berserk world. It's getting more berserk all the time. The situations that we run into in daily life are just seeming to overtake us. Well, just a few more here and we'll be done. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 13. 15, verse 13, and we'll read through verse 15. It says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." Keeping that joy of the Lord in our heart is so important. 17 and verse 22 of Proverbs, it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." I remember reading years ago of a man who was told he had terminal cancer, and he said, "Well, if I'm going to die, I might as well have some fun." So he went and ordered a bunch of Lauren Hardy DVDs back then. They weren't DVDs. They were the videos. Yeah, they were the. And he went and got a bunch of those, and he sat and looked at them, and he laughed and he laughed and he laughed. And he went back to his doctor. The doctor said, "There's some reason your cancer's in remission. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine." But a broken spirit, it says, drieth the bones. Not a good thing. So we need to keep a heart that overflows with the joy of the Lord. We need to work on that. Ephesians 5, 19 to 20 talks about it. And singing that song, keeping the song of the Lord in our heart, working to keep the joy of the Lord. And we read Psalm 43, where when your heart's down, just start praising the Lord. And that's what we find here in Psalm 108. Look in Psalm 108. How am I going to strengthen my heart? By staying in the Word of God, staying in it strong. When I get worse, get in it stronger. And by keeping the joy of the Lord in my life, keeping my prayer life up. And here's the other one in Psalm 108. Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Put the focus upon praising the Lord. It takes work to keep a right heart. It really does. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. It's work, for out of it are the issues of life. And if you look in Psalm 31, here's something that it takes that we find in the scripture. Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. It takes courage. Joshua 1, 7 and 8, remember? He told Joshua to have courage, to stay in the Word of God day and night, to meditate therein. It takes courage. Stay in the Word. There are a lot of starving Christians today. They're starving all over the world, especially here in the United States. Starving Christians. Say, is it that bad? Yes, it's that bad. We're not talking about physical food. We're talking about spiritual food. They just don't get into the Word of God like they should. They just don't feed themselves with the Word of God. And as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. If we're not supposed to lean on our own understanding, what are we supposed to lean on? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Our leaning is supposed to be upon the teaching of the Word of God, God's Word, and what God has taught us to do and how to live. That's, we trust in the Lord. And so we have so many believers that are starving Christians, just starving. Just a few more verses here and we'll be done. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Here it says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. If you think you're not going to fall, you've got a wrong opinion of yourself. Because we have a heart that is desperately, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And along the trail of trying to strengthen our heart, we're going to fail. We're going to fall. Should we just give up, quit? Because this life is so tough and all these things happen. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. I guess it's just so rough. Might as well just throw in the towel and forget it. Time to turn around. Something slaps me in the face. Well, that's life. It's like the Bible says there. It's a common thing among us. 37 verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, though he fall. Now this is a good man that delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. See, yeah, falls are going to come, but the Lord's promised to help us out. We just need to get up and go on and serve the Lord. 145 verse 14 of Psalms. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raises up all those that be bowed down. What a precious promise. Yes, discouragement comes in times to all of our lives, and the believer that says he never gets discouraged must be living in some kind of a la-la land, because discouragement comes to all of us at times. And we need to remember the promise of the Lord that He'll lift us up. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We just need to confess it, get up, and go on for the Lord. Don't let the devil defeat us. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for Your Word, that we can strengthen our hearts by staying in the Word, by just praying and keep praying and don't give up on our praying, and make our prayer life more of what it should be, seeking You to examine ourselves and ask You to show us the things we need to see in our own heart and life. We're so prone to see it in others, but we don't see it in ourselves. And then just to be praising You, lifting up the Lord, seeking to lift You up each and every day, keep our focus right. And when we do fall, not let it defeat us, but realize that You're there to help us and to pick us up and to set our feet on solid ground and get us going again. We thank You for Your Word to guide us. Thank You for the blessings, and help us to be believers who diligently work. We keep our heart with all diligence, because we realize out of it are the issues of life. Thank You again. We love You and praise You and thank You and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.